What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Hello, hello. What's going on out there? Welcome in to an episode of Bolt Brady and his bro, where we love to chat some sports gambling. Kind of the slow grind here. Just had 4th of July, but thought we'd check in with everyone. Let's welcome in our guy, Bolt.
Yeah, we'll go over a few current events here before we jump into the British Open next week. We'll be breaking that down. And then after that, we'll start getting into the NFL, breaking down the divisions.
To the mini camps and the kicker off.
And we even get the preseason games, and you can get some W's on those bad boys.
Yeah. I mean, those things might be a thing of the past here coming up, because when they keep negotiating, they're like, are they down to two yet, or are they still on four?
They're like, four preseason games?
Are they at three?
I think it's three. But they were talking about adding another game too.
Right, to the regular season. So they're like, if we chop off two more preseason, or just get rid of the preseason in general.
Oh, I think they'll at least have one or two preseason games.
But those have pretty much just become for the guys that want to make the squad now.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it always has been, really. You know, they throw the starters in there a little bit. But, like, the big-name quarterbacks and stuff, those guys never go in, really.
They used to. It was the McVay with Todd Gurley started it. When his knee kind of started to feel a little, like, tweaked.
Yeah.
He's like, Gurley's not playing this preseason at all, not a snap.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of started to see it with, like, trickling with all the star dudes and the big names. We're like, well, I guess I don't need to do it either.
Well, the Rams really don't do it. Like, I don't think any of their big guys play any of the preseason.
Because he started it.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like the Popovich and the load management.
Right.
McVay and no preseason.
Well, speaking of Big Popovich in the basketball, I thought maybe we'd touch on the Olympics since it's coming up. The Olympic basketball team, that's kind of been the talk. And the talk recently, last couple days, is our boy, Big Cooper Flagg, the incoming freshman at Duke, the 6'9", 17-year-old, got invited to play against the Olympians.
Yeah, when he, you know, I kind of was telling you he reclassified because he was like a junior, like to start last school year, and he pushed himself back forward to this graduating class. I assumed, I'm like, well, he's probably going to turn like 19 this summer.
Right.
And I saw the age, I'm like, whoa, he's still not even 18 and he's crapping on these guys.
I know, it's so legit. I can't wait to watch him at Duke. But yeah, so you and I were talking that it's been since 2013, since even a collegiate has been invited to go up against the Olympian guys.
Yeah, and it was like Doug McDermott, who had played like 110 college games or something already at the time, and they asked him to come in for those summer things.
Right.
And then here comes Cooper.
And also one more guy, Marcus Smart.
Oh, that's right.
Who was the Big 12 Player of the Year, coming off Big 12 Player of the Year. And then now you have Big Cooper Flagg just coming out of high school.
And then it's not like he's just like ho-humming out there. It's like they said he was like the dude out there for that team.
Oh, well, so I saw the highlights. Did you see any of the highlights?
Yeah, I saw him kind of hit the three over Anthony Davis and then
back down Drew Holiday.
And then he had the put back against a follow-up, and Bam Adebayo fouled them, so it was the and one.
Well, his squad, the guys he's playing with, right, they're like, first, second year NBA guys.
Like Jaime Jaquez Jr. from the Heat.
I mean, he's not scared of him. You know, he's like, yeah, definitely give me the pill over him.
Podzimski from the Warriors out of Santa Clara.
Another guy. He's like, come on. And then, you know, Jalen Suggs for Orlando. He's on the squad. So I'm sure Coop's like, dude, yeah, I am the man on this squad.
It's not so much them, though. It's about like, well, there's LeBron, there's Steph. He's not sweating those guys is what's cool.
Right. And he's always had a boatload of confidence, and you can tell he still has it. But he also has the respect factor there, too, saying, you know, he feels blessed and honored that he gets the opportunity to play against those guys.
Well, get ready for the confidence to just skyrocket another level.
Well, I can't wait for college hoops to start with that. Is that going to be any good?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, maybe get Duke back up on the map again. Holy cow. So the other thing that I saw that was coming out of there, someone's confidence might be getting a little too high, which I thought it was.
Yeah, I saw him.
Big Ant.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I'm numero uno.
I'm the number one option. They're like, so where do you think like you fit in with this squad, right? And he's like, I'm the number one option. Nothing's changed. And I'm like, whoa, big guy. Slow her down.
Dude.
Come on.
Actually, I didn't hear anyone like diffuse that yet. Like the OG guys be like, oh man, I get it. He's a young guy, whatever. I'm sure they're like, hey, bud, like you're probably not starting. Like you're not going to start.
Right.
And then like when you're in, make sure you kind of run through the routes here, the system. Like yeah. Don't just force it.
Right. No kidding here. Wow. I mean, slow her down. See, that's what happens. People start giving him the Mike J comparisons. And it all goes to the head, I guess. Yeah, he's not going to start. I was thinking about that. I was just looking at it. The starting lineup, big Steph. And then
I saw KD. They're like Steph, KD, and Embiid are like guaranteed.
So Embiid over Anthony Davis?
Well, then they're like, do you go? They're probably going to start LeBron just for the respect.
Right.
And then probably AD. Or like, I mean, if a Kawhi, if healthy, I don't know.
Well, so that's what I think. Because so who's supposed to be the other guard with Steph? Like
LeBron,
right? Wow, it's a tall two guard there. Right. So Steph, LeBron, KD, Joel, and then
AD.
Yeah. Wow, that's just domination.
Well, so Kerr's the head coach.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of why, like, that Podzimski guy probably even got invited.
Oh, yeah, good call. I was wondering how they invited him. Yep, that's how.
Yep, they let those guys have their 4th of July and kind of let it rip. And they're like, we'll see you the Saturday after.
Yep, and they all showed up down in Vague.
I remember we were there a couple times over the summer, like, at the clubs, and, like, there was other Team USAs in there. And some of them would come filtering into the clubs. Like, I remember Chauncey Billups and some dudes would go walking through.
Oh, yeah. They're going to get out on the town.
Because it's always been in Vegas. Like, Team USA always meets in Vegas.
Right, where you think you'd pick a different spot than that.
But they're like, man, we're making you guys break up your summer. We'll let you have some fun, too.
Yeah, that's sweet.
You can golf in the morning and then let her rip at night. We'll do practice at noon.
Right, okay, so how about this one? Speaking of golf and hoops at the same time here. So I'm reading this thing on Twitter about how this guy, he was a hockey player, and I didn't even bother to look at his name because I don't follow the hockey at all. So it didn't matter what his name was, and I probably wouldn't have recognized his name anyway. So he's talking about back in the day how he's playing golf with MJ, okay? And it's the day of a game.
I think it's Brett Hull, probably.
No. I know who that is. It was someone else, someone that you probably haven't heard of either. But I mean, like, who's like a probably a good hockey player, but neither one of us have heard about him. So anyway, MJ asked him to golf. I don't think the guy lived in Illinois. I think he like was there for an away game. So he and MJ go golf, and you know, he's talking about how competitive Mike is. So Mike, so this guy loses. Mike like owes him a couple grand or a few grand or something. And Mike's like, let's run it back, another 18. And the guy's like, wow, okay. And so he goes, Mike and I run back another 18. He goes, we're drinking brews the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and Mike's got the ball game that night.
I think it was a playoff game.
And so, yeah. And so this guy claims, okay, that Mike played the 36 holes and he had like 10 brews and then went out and scored over 50 that night. And so I go, okay. Here's how, you know, let's over exaggerate on how big the fish is a little bit here, because there's no way that Mike had 10 brews during the game or during golf and then went and played an NBA game that night.
Dude, I'm pretty sure it's Brett Hull, and I think it's a playoff game. I think he's like, I had like 12 beers and Mike had more than me. Like he had the number higher than that, I think, even.
Well,
he's like 14 plus.
Yeah. So I wrote back on, you know, I don't say very much on Twitter, but I was like, hey, hey guys, sorry, this is a little bit of a bloop there. And for those of you who don't know what a bloop is, it's when you're lying or you're, you know,
embellishing.
You're embellishing a boatload. Because for those that don't know, like, you basketball, like, you need to be precise. And so, like, to shoot a jumper when you're gassed or have a buzz does not work. Sorry. Not happening. So I got back and I said, that's not true. Mike didn't have that many brews. Sorry.
I mean, he's done the Atlantic City and that till like the 4 a.m. And then, you know, maybe getting 4 hours of sleep and doing it.
Yeah. But that's fine. Right.
Yeah, day of cranking them down.
Day of, first of all, it doesn't matter how good a shape you're in either. 36 is going to take a little toll on you. I mean, we played 36 holes back when we're in the 20s too. And yeah, you're fine. But then you smack like another 12 bruise on that and you're supposed to go ball in an NBA game. Come on, the fish is getting a little big there, buddy. Holy cow.
Mike's like, thanks for the props.
Right. Mike's like, wow. He's like William Wallace in Braveheart.
Yeah.
8 foot tall man. Remember when they saw William Wallace, they, I heard you were 8 feet tall.
Right. Yeah, who knows where the truth lies in. I mean, even that he's even having like 5 beers, it's like, huh, I don't even know if you need a tune at all on the day of a game.
No. I mean, but I'm thinking the guy might have 1 of 9. Like, he might have 1 brew on the front 9 and run on the back.
What's that doing, though? I mean, why even start?
Well,
like,
I know.
Why would you have a beer?
But then also, then I could see, like, going home and getting the napper in real quick before the ball game. But just banging 36, drinking the 12-pack, heading to the game, and scoring 50. Come on, it's not happening.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Mike's like, whatever it takes to keep me away from the pad, I'm good. I'm just waiting until game time.
Right. So then, stay away from the lady. And then the other thing that I saw recently that was online, and I said, well, there needs to be some clarification here. There was, they're showing some of these offensive linemen that are way skinnier now, right? And so, and they look great. They, you know, you can tell they're working out and stuff. And I was like reading through the Twitter feed. And so many of the people were saying, wow, how do these linemen lose so much weight? This is incredible. Whoa, what are they doing to lose weight? And then I go, jeepers, I guess. You know, it'd be helpful for some of these people to know the reason why they're losing so much weight is because they're not taking steroids anymore. Jiminy Christmas.
That, and then there's the force feeding of chow, like,
yes,
the calorie consumption.
That has something to do with it, yes, because they're constantly trying to eat, but a lot of it has to do with they're not taking the juice anymore. Now, does that mean every single one of them took the juice and they're not anymore and that's why they're losing? No. Majority, yes. So I'm here to tell you they're not taking the juice anymore and that's how they're losing weight. And when I was in college, we had a former player that played, that was one of our coaches. And when we walked through the airport, and he was an all pro, people wouldn't even recognize him because he lost like 40 pounds. And he barely weighed, you know, more than all of us. We were like the same weight as him, and he played fullback in the NFL. So when you get off the juice, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they always chat about like, yeah, you know, all the diets and the recovery stuff's all gotten so much better. And, you know, and it has to a degree. But then you go to these old school methods, like for these dudes to stay big, it's like they can't just be pounding chicken breasts to get up over 300.
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny you bring that up because I noticed that they actually had this ranking in the NFL for cafeterias. Like,
I've heard that mentioned because some of them were pretty low, and like the teams were like, we got to fix that because guys won't want to come here.
Right. And so then there's some teams that like they sit down. I mean, this is the route that all of them are going now, where they sit down with a nutritionist and they said, okay, so what's your plan here? What do you want to do? You want to lose the weight or keep the weight? And they sit down and they'll come up with a specific diet for them so that when they eat at the cafeteria, it's got all that. Like the rookie receiver for the Rams.
Nacua?
Yeah, big Nacua. Like, he just can't eat vegetables. He won't eat vegetables, but he realizes he needs them. And so they've got like a specific diet geared around, okay, he never has veggies. How can we replace that? Pretty funny, never having the veggies.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you go back to like college for him at BYU, and it's like those obviously weren't in the system.
No.
And he did okay, but I mean, we're paying you guys a lot here. Let's get to our peak performance.
Well, right, and he's trying to get the best out of himself too. I guess he's been working with Big Cup all off season.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Just
need him to stay healthy. But I mean, then, you know, there's a guy like Ocho Cinco who religiously goes through McDonald's drive through and still does.
Does he?
And just stayed thin, but he'd always work out with the guys in Miami in the off season.
Well, yeah, because, you know, when you're working out like that, I mean, you won't get fat because you're burning so many calories, but you're just not getting the best out of your body, though. I'm sure, too. You know, I mean, you want to do it like Big J.R., Jer Rice back in the day and, you know, watch every single thing. And that's how you lead the NFL in touchdowns.
Yep. Yeah. But I mean, even like the Kelce brothers, just like the one was the lineman, you know, and Jason. And just to see him, it's like he had to mow down because he's way bigger than his bro.
Yeah.
And he was an undersized lineman. So, I mean, that's, but he's lost weight since he's called it.
Yeah. Yeah. He was definitely undersized. But yeah, his is a lot of more challenging. I mean, a lot of those guys, even in college, you'd see like basically the linemen are just eating like all the time because they're trying to keep that weight up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they show like the big schools, and everyone's over 300 now.
Oh, yeah. And that used to be a rarity. Not anymore.
Yeah. It's the norm.
Yep. There's a guy actually I saw, he was playing hoops. He's going to be like the tallest guy in college football. He's 6'11". He's going to play for Georgia. And I guess just like not even that long ago, just like a couple months ago, hoops was going to be his priority. And they were thinking he was going to go like late second round. I guess he played AAU basketball with Bronny. James, and so they're like, yeah, late second round, or maybe you go Europe. And then all of a sudden, like, he was a baller back in middle school. That's when he stopped playing football, but he was getting division one rides back then, I guess. And he's like, you know what, and I don't know who put the thought in his mind, he's like, I'm just gonna go play football again. And so everyone's like, these last 2 months has just been a whirlwind for this guy that's 6'11" lineman. They're going to make him. And so George is like, hey, let's get you accustomed to how things are going to work here. And then the second year, you know, let's see if we can get you to be a starter. And so he's just totally dropping the hoops and going back to football.
What position for football?
Like left tackle. His name's Jazaire Jackson.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I told you I was watching a highlight of the Warriors Summer League, and this dude kind of had a breakaway dunk, and Steph reposted it because it was someone kind of challenged him. And there was this guy, what was it, like Pat Sullivan or something? But anyway, the guy's, he's 20, just turned 28, and he pursued lacrosse and went to college for that. And then he got in the Professional Lacrosse League. And then he had one. He's like, you know what? I kind of want to get back into hoops.
Wow.
There's probably no chips in lacrosse.
No, there's not. I mean, I wouldn't think so.
So he went to Northwestern for a year for hoops, and then got into like the G League last year. And the Warriors are giving him another shot here. But I mean, he looked like a good athlete. I'm like, wow.
I wonder what he did at Northwestern,
like hoop wise.
Yeah,
I think decent.
Like if he had to be like all Big Ten.
I think they got him to the tourney. I think it said.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's sweet. Well, Summer League, speaking of the big Summer League and the big Bronny James, holy cow. Like, I think ESPN's kind of like jocking him a little bit, you know, because of LeBron.
For sure.
Yeah, they don't want to make LeBron. So they're like, incredible first move on Bronny's first basket.
How Bill Walton used to do it.
Yeah, and all he did was just, you know, take it in for the layup. And then, of course, I check out the stats. And he's the 2-for-9. That's not cutting it.
He really shouldn't even be a starter in the summer league.
Not even close.
And he was a starter.
Yeah, and he was getting like 21 minutes, and he's shooting the 2-for-9. You know, we're shooting the 20% here. And it's just like, you know, our boy here from Sacramento that's trying to make the Kings that went to St. Mary's College.
Ford.
Big Ford. Come on, that guy's the point guard too. And he's like, I crap on this guy. Come on, it's not even close.
Well, I think Bronny was playing like the shooting guard too. I don't think he started at point.
No, yeah, they don't have him playing the point because I don't think he knows how to distribute it.
6'1".
Yeah.
On the wing.
Tried telling everyone he was 6'4". Sure he was.
Those guys, I will say though, you know, even like Dalton Connect, who was their first round pick, he was a little cold those first two games. I just think it's an NBA arena. It's a little different feel for them. So they're a little not in their settled game yet.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's going to be a little pressure on everyone, too. I mean, I get that. But, you know, at the same time, you just – you know, they don't say anything about him shooting the 2-for-9er. They just talk about his legit first basket.
But no.
We got a long ways to go here, guys.
Yeah. Those games, they don't pull me in fully, but y'all check in on them. Like, oh, you see like guys like Drew Timmy and stuff from Gonzaga still trying to make squads.
Oh, was Drew Timmy playing?
I think he was on the Kings. You know, he was on Milwaukee G League, and then he was on the Kings Summer League this year.
Oh, he's on the Kings.
I think it was, yeah.
Nice. You know, one thing that I was seeing here on my notes, and I forgot when we were talking about the Olympics, is remember, I can't remember when I mentioned it, but it was a few months ago or not, but the guy Peter Thiel, who's a venture capitalist, is starting the enhanced games, and I was talking about how not only do they let you take steroids, they promote you taking steroids.
Oh, that's right.
And so he's trying to raise $300 million, and they want to have like the first games next year. And so how about this? So not only are they promoting you to take the roids, they'll be like, hey, let's take some tests here and see what like the best fit of the roids is for your body type.
Oh, wow.
And they get chips if they break world records. So they'll get like $1 million bonus.
Oh, because it brings the notoriety to the...
So isn't it funny, dude? It's called the Enhanced Games. That's what it's going to be. It's just going to be guys taking roids, trying to beat speed records and like lifting records and stuff.
Sponsored by Viag.
Right. So anyway, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. It'd be interesting to kind of see. I don't know if it would totally take off because, I mean, you have a quarter to half the dudes in the professional sports taking them anyway.
No kidding. And they're like, dude, we take them in the Olympics, too. Just know the ways around her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. You look at some of those people, guys and girls, you're like, you're pretty stacked right there.
Right.
You don't have any body fat on you at all.
Those arms don't look like they should be on that torso.
Right. Or that female.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when they get the pipes going, you're like, wow, that's pretty vascular, and those are pretty big. That doesn't really look like a female right there.
Yeah, I'm ready to start seeing some of the sprints and all that stuff's fun to watch.
Yep, it's going to get going here pretty soon. It's going to be legit. And then, of course, the NBA hoops.
Yeah, the next host is Los Angeles for the Olympics in 4 years.
Yeah.
And I saw they were going to flip, because usually they open with like gymnastics is one of the big ones at night to start the thing. And track and field ends the Olympics. It's like that last week. They said Los Angeles is going to flip those. They're going to open with track.
Oh, really?
And end with gymnastics like that last week.
So gymnastics opens?
It's one of the first big ones that you see. Like it'll be the night coverage.
Okay. With Simone. She's the baller for
yeah.
us.
Yeah. Since the internet, though, man, it's so tricky now because everything's just right when you open your phone. You just see results before you watch it at night if it's in a different time zone.
Oh, yeah, that does suck.
So it's like you got to kind of avoid looking at some of that stuff, or you're just watching when you already know what happens.
Right. Yeah, that does kind of suck.
I remember that last time. Yeah, I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah, especially with the hoops. You're like, let's see this play out. And speaking of hoops and the Olympics, our boy, Big Giannis, the Greek freak, makes the Olympics.
He took out Luka.
Yep. Big Luke said, okay. Luke's like, I got to go home now and clean up the diet a little bit.
He's like, or I'm taking a month here to crank it and chow and have some brews with my buds.
Yeah, so it's the first time Giannis has ever been in the Olympics. So he's going to be pretty juiced. It's interesting, like, when you see these guys representing their countries, like Buddy Hield, our new latest Sacramento Kinger.
Is he Bahamas?
Yeah, he plays Bahamas with, who was it? There was another guy who was playing with the NBA. And I'm like, oh, those two must be pretty legit teaming up together. And then, of course, France. France has ballers.
Mm-hmm. Australia there for a little bit had some guys humming.
Not anymore.
Yeah, I think it's cooled.
It
was like back to Andrew Bogut and some of those guards they had.
Right, Andrew Bogut.
Our boy from St. Mary's.
Oh, right.
Well, Patty Mills was one of them.
Patty Mills. I bet most people don't even know who Patty Mills is.
I think he's still in the league.
No, I know. But I mean, I don't think we would even know who he is if we didn't play for St. Mary's College. Like, there's just... talk about just a traveler.
Yeah, I think maybe when the Spurs were relevant there that last time with Kawhi, I think he maybe came off the bench and hit some threes.
You'd have to have some deep NBA knowledge, I think, to know him.
V Butter.
Yeah, everyone knows him in NorCal, maybe the East Bay, because he played for St. Mary's. But, yeah, then you know what they haven't been talking about as much for the hoops in the Olympics is the three-on-three squad.
Jimmer Fredette.
Right. And then Rick Barry's son.
Cannon?
Yeah, and he shoots the under.
Yeah. Oh, for the free throws?
Yep, like his pops did. So get ready to watch that one.
Yeah, I don't know who the third. I mean, they take four guys.
Yeah.
That'd be cool if they win that. I wonder how they pick those guys. Like, how do you pick the three-on-three team?
That's what I mean. But you know what? Like, when you look, because I didn't know about Rick Barry's son. So, of course, I'm, like, reading the background on him. And they have a boatload of international experience playing three-on-three, actually. So it's not like they're like, oh, hey, here you guys go. Why don't you be our three-on-three reps? Like, these guys have been playing it for a long time.
Yeah. Did you see that guy, Chase Buttinger? He used to be in the NBA. He went to U of A. He was like 6'8", kind of reddish hair. But he was, coming out of high school, he was like the number one hooper, and then he was also like the number one volleyball player. And so he kind of shelved volleyball for a second to go to U of A, and then he was 8 years in the NBA, played for like the Rockets and a couple teams.
He's got the hops, I bet.
So he called it after that, and then... you know, hits like Manhattan Beach down in L.A. And he got on the AVP, the beach circuit.
Really?
And so he just, I don't know if they took two teams, but anyway, he got in the Olympics.
Wow.
As like the second squad.
Wow, sweet athlete.
For two man.
Sweet athlete. If you play volleyball and basketball, the chances of you being able to jump high are 99.9.
And he's 6'8". I mean, so.
Wow, that's touching the top of the backboard probably.
But a lot of those dudes are tall that play volleyball.
No, I know.
One of them is, at least.
Right. Before we get going here, we got to bring up the 409. Spray it down, clean it up. Incredible. Big. He was a number one draft choice. Some people consider him the biggest bust of all time. Big Jamarcus Russell.
Yeah, I saw it.
Wow, this guy's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. So, for those of you who don't know, but he was the number one draft choice of the Raiders back in the day.
Al Davis pushed for him.
Yep, and he was just never in. Like, the guy could care less. Terrible, terrible, terrible career. Some people say the biggest bust of all time. Well, he goes back to coaching high school football back at his old high school. So, okay, great. This guy's helping out. Not so much. He cruises around town asking for chips for the program, and he tells this wealthier businessman in town that there needs some chips to build the field and the weight room and stuff. And so this guy kicks down $77,000 for the program, and Jamarcus decides to deposit it himself and take out 55 G's.
Deposit, and as soon as it clears, he goes and takes out the 50 spot for himself.
Now, dude, I was thinking about that. Like, he's got to be high on drugs to do that, right? Like, what makes you so stupid that you think you're going to get away with that?
I mean, even when they drafted him, and there was, I mean, it's this drink that's known in the South where it's like the cough syrup. It's like Zizzer, you know, and they,
right.
He was caught drinking that all the time when he was in the NFL. I mean, it was a flash in the pan.
It was called the purple or something.
Right,
like
exactly.
That.
So, I mean, that he drank that back in the day. So, I mean, I'm sure those habits are...
Right.
It's lingering.
But I'm like, I'm just like, okay, so this dude gives him a check. I mean, he's got to be high on drugs to think, oh, okay, I'm going to deposit this, take out a 50 spot. No one's going to notice. This is going to be legit. So anyway, he's in trouble now.
Well, if you're writing the check, how about I write it and hand it over to the school or whoever's in charge of this bad boy?
You know, no kidding. Was it actually filled out to Jamarcus? Yeah. Because that would be a mistake.
Yeah, just go ahead and make that out to me.
I'll give it over to the school.
I'll put your name up on the wall of the weight room.
When I'm out of here in Spain, right. Holy cow.
I mean, he wasn't the head coach. I mean, he was like a helper, assistant, right. But still.
Yeah.
That's a lot of chips just to hand over to him.
Right. Man, just think about them. I mean, that guy was giving the cars to the keys to the city.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just.
Yep. Got to put in the work.
Right. So anyway. So anyway, I thought we'd end it on the 409 there, unless you got something else to say.
Nope. Looking forward to like something like the British Open to kind of look forward to a big event.
Right. So next week, so we'll break her down and try to give you guys some W's and some matchups.
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of talking about the John Deere Classic was on, and that leaderboard was not really grabbing me.
Well, dude, I mean, it's really bad is what it is. So like, you know, I like golf and stuff, but you're not going to get me to watch those bad boys. Like now when we get to the British Open, let's talk business here, because this is going to be legit. This is when the big guys come out to play. But seeing, like, you know, Garb 1 and Garb 2 playing against each other, it just does not excite me at all.
Oh, I guess on a side note there, you know, they named Keegan Bradley the Ryder Cup because Tiger turned it down.
Right.
And I'm like, man, I think that show Full Swing, which has been twice on Netflix, totally worked in Keegan's favor, because if you didn't see that and see his anguish over not getting picked by Zach Johnson, because Zach Johnson, when he goes to golf tournaments, he rooms with Ricky, Jordan, and Justin Thomas.
Oh, he does.
And he had freedom of like six picks. Those three were three of the six.
Wow, clean it up.
So, you know, if you're watching that, you're like, Keegan has no chance here. And he won twice last season.
Right.
So Tiger said he bowed out because he's trying to help the LIV merger, and they're busy with all that. He's like, I just don't think I have the time. So they pivot to Keegan.
Right.
Because Phil would have naturally been the choice for the New York tournament.
But yep.
Phil's gone. I mean, there's no way Keegan's your third choice in line here, naturally.
Dude, Keegan hasn't been on a team since 2014.
No.
Yeah. No, I know. People are like, wait, who? What?
I like Keegan.
No, I get it.
He got jacked. He should have... He probably, like Ricky probably, or Justin Thomas had a terrible year last year. Justin shouldn't have been on it.
No. Yeah. Wow. Just politics at the highest level, even.
Or amigos, you know, looking out for your buds.
Wow. Those guys better ball than by getting picked like that.
Well, it already happened.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. They lost.
They better. Oh, that tournament or that Ryder?
Yeah. That was the Ryder Cup last summer or last September, the Paris one.
Jeez. I don't even remember it. They got spanked, right?
Yeah, like those first two sessions, it was, you know, 9-1. I mean, it was 8-2 or something real quick. So, yeah, I like to watch the British Open. That'll be fun.
Sweet.
All right, keep an eye on Instagram and Twitter. It's at Bolt Brady Picks. We can maybe chat some HR Derby here or something. But we will come at you guys next Tuesday and talk British Open.
See ya.